Hello and a warm welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's draw at Elgin City, preview the crucial game at 4th place Spartans, and the PFA League 2 Team of the Year was announced this week, and one Peterhead player made the side. We'll discuss that and more on the Blue Team Podcast. Yes, welcome on to this week's episode of the Blue Team Podcast. I am Colin Byers, with me as usual, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week? Good week?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Just really struggling again with this weather. Can't get my grass cut, which is really rather annoying. You can start to see the big tufts for the dogs being here and pissed every now and again, so there's patches our way. But yeah, apart from that, yeah, no, no complaints.
You're not right, you're not too bad.
I just really want to get my grass cut. I just kind of get around to it.
I can see that. I didn't think you'd ever been so quite animated over getting a grass cut.
I normally would have had at least the first cut done by now, but no, I kind of get it done because of the rain. But hopefully at some point this week might get it sorted out.
Aye, just when you think the weather's starting to change, it comes back to being the April showers, as we said the other week.
Aye, the April showers seems to be less than our April, but right, let's say we do digress. Let's say crack on with a few bits of admin. First one is we have this month's Friday Night Live coming to you this Friday the 26th, and we're already delighted to be joined by one of the co-managers, Ryan Strachan. He will be with us on Friday night at slightly later time, this time at 8 o'clock. As usual, we'll be live on Facebook, so if you want to watch it there live and get your questions into it as well during it, would be much appreciated. Hopefully, we'll talk about the playoffs, the year as a co-manager, etc., and the final two games coming up, which will be two crucial final games coming up as well. So, yeah, really looking forward to this one, just to kind of gauge with him how he's seen the last year at the club, because obviously it's been a few changes maybe since the last time we spoke to him.
Aye, it's been probably a bit of a whirlwind for him as well, is it? Obviously coming in as a caretaker, then them getting appointed the job, and obviously last summer their plans completely changed, Ryan and Jordan's, by thinking that you're just going to be a player within the squad to them being co-managers, so everything changed. Obviously he's got a testimonial coming up in a couple of months as well, so yeah it's been a big year for Ryan on a personal note, but obviously on the pitch as well.
Yeah, that would be good as well, to see if we can get a few more details for him about the testimonial and what may lie for Saturday, which is Saturday the 6th of July, off the top of my head. I really should have checked that before we came on, but you're nodding, so I'm assuming that means yes.
Yeah. The only reason I can that is because I'm holding from the 8th. It's the only reason I can.
And the only reason why I can, it's the 6th, because it's 2 days after my anniversary, and that's why I mean. It was something along those lines. I can't definitely wasn't the 4th, but it was 2 days after, so there we go. So he definitely the 6th of July for his testimonial. So yeah, as I said, Friday night, Ryan Strachan on Facebook at 8 o'clock. Hopefully, we'll get a few questions coming in as well. So let's talk about another player, Andy McCarthy. He has been voted in on the PFA's League 2 Player of the Year for the season 23-24, and a prestigious award because it is voted by his peers when the players in League 2 put their votes in, and they have voted him one of the top three midfielders in League 2, which doesn't come as much as a surprise to us. I think it's maybe come to, as a surprise to maybe a few others. Certainly, Andy, by his own admission, has said it's maybe his best season. I'd really like to see what he is when he's really poor, because I think he's been fairly consistent. I think that the issue, Andy, is he's still trying to find his best position, because I've talked before about him being like a box-to-box midfielder, whereas I think he's been used more in that kind of holding role, but I still think he's better suited to be going box to box. But as I said, it's been voted by his peers as he's been one of the top three midfielders in League Two, and thoroughly deserved.
I think as a player, it's always good to get an award of some sorts, but I think to be voted by your peers as well probably makes it that little bit more special. Mm. As you said, by Andy's own admission, maybe not his best season by his standards, and you know, it's his words that he's maybe they felt he's been at the peak. But to be voted as one of the top three midfielders, as you said, it's not a surprise to us. We see him week in, week out. We know what he can do. And as you rightly said, if that's him making a great season, I'd really like to see him, if he is in a bad season, what he can do for the next couple of years. But yeah, a really good award for him to get. And I think he's got a lot more maturity in his game. I think we've mentioned that about a few players over the last couple of years, but I think Andy's one of them. He reads the game really well. And if you're being honest, he's a blooming nuisance to play against, is he? Mm-hmm. You watch him, just things he did up at Elgin as well. He's one of them guys that you really don't want to play against, because you can. He's just going to frustrate you. He's going to need a little the dark arts of the game. He's very good at it, but that doesn't take away from the quality that he's got as well. Yeah. When he needs to turn the screw, and you know that bit of magic, you can, that you will get that from Andy from time to time. So yeah, really, really pleased he's got his award.
Yeah, he bucks up as well, which is a good thing, but. You know what, he winds up the opposition players and the opposition fans, no end. But 100% of them would take Andy McCarthy in a heartbeat in their team. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. That's what I was saying. He's one of them. You really don't want to be playing against him. And if you had a choice to him in your team, I think everybody would sort of, yes, we'll take him. He's maybe not every fan's cup of tea for various different reasons. But I do think we are a better team with Andy in the side. When he's playing top of his game, he's playing well and he's on it. I think we're a much better team. And you sometimes, over the last couple of weeks when he hasn't been playing, and also we're missing Joe on Saturday as well, there are certain aspects of the game that you think that's when you're really lacking a player like Andy McCarthy's quality, if he's out injured or suspended or anything. But yeah, really, really pleased he's got his award, and even more so that it's been voted by his peers.
And he's been a vital cog in our season. 28 league appearances, 25 starts, 21 times he's finished he completed the 90 minutes, 2,256 minutes and 6 assists is his season. So again, he's saying it's not a great season, but he's been one of the first names on the team sheet week in, week out.
Yeah, and I think that just shows the level of quality that he's got. You know, that Ryan and Jordan really think he's an integral part of the team. And as you said, he's probably one of the first names, if not the first name, on the team sheet every week. And as I said a few minutes ago, I think we're a much better team with him in the squad than we are without him.
And I'd argue, not only is he one of the best midfielders in League Two, as voted by his peers, I would say he must be up there with some of the better League One midfielders as well.
Yeah, I think if you were to look at the both divisions, you know, taking it as a whole, and you had a pool of players, I definitely think you'd be in the conversation for it. I think we're very fortunate that Andy, in my opinion, could probably play at a higher level if he wanted to. I'm sure he hasn't been short of offers, but you know, there's reasons that he's staying with us. But yeah, like I said, if you had a pool of every player in midfield for League One and League Two, I certainly think he's in that conversation for certainly being in contention for the whether you'd be playing a three or a four. But yeah, definitely in that conversation.
And I think he's one of those popular players in the dressing room at Peterhead, but I think he's also quite popular throughout the game as well, because you always see him in conversation with opposition players before the game, during warm-ups and the end of the game and things like that. So he's maybe, as you said earlier on, he's maybe a pain in the arse or a nuisance, I think, maybe to use your words, on the pitch. But off the pitch, he's maybe just one of those kind of nice guys. We've obviously spoken to him a few times as well, and never shies away for wanting to have a chat with.
Yeah, I think that's his personality, though. You know, when we spoke to Caleb the other week, it was a case of, when you're coming up in the car, Andy doesn't shut up and he's always got something to say. And that's in a good way as well, of course. Mm. But I think it's just the personality that he's got. He's a very chatty sort of guy. And I think he is well-liked. Some fans will not take to him, whether that's be our own fans or whether it be fans of opposition. Mm. That's just the way nature of football works and life in general. But yeah, I think he's a very pretty popular figure, not only in our dressing room, but, you know, across the lower divisions as well.
Were you surprised he was the only one for the Peterhead team that made it into the team of the year, considering we're sitting second?
No. And the reason I say that, I think the only other person I could really think of, maybe two. I think Kieran Shanks, if he kept his goal scoring record going, that blip when he went 10 games without scoring or whatever it was, I think he would have been in a conversation. I think Ryan, he's been very consistent, Ryan Strachan, as the season's gone on. But, you know, you could argue Danny Strachan, Jason Brown, these guys have had periods of time out injured as well. I think if you're taking it as a whole season, probably just about Andy McCarthy. Again, players like Conor O'Keefe and Hamish Ritchie, the purple patches, didn't quite keep it going, and I think that sort of coincides with the form hours dip in December, January. But, you know, the main aim is winning the, you know, the playoffs and going up to League One. But I do think the personal accolades, yeah, Andy's gotten in the team of the year. But then I think, yeah, I mean, there is arguments to say other players deserve it, but I just think for being out injured a period of time, Jason Brown, a prime example, was out injured for the best part of 2.5 months. That's probably just gone against them in terms of getting into this sort of thing.
Consistency is for it's all about, really.
Yes.
That's, as you said, it's kind of gone hand in hand with our season, where we've never really had a consistent team. We've mentioned before a few weeks ago, like Stenny has had a fairly consistent lineup most weeks. I think they've used the about 15, 16 players, where we've maybe gone on and used, haven't they used maybe 23, 24, 25?
Yeah, just the way it's worked with injuries and suspensions, I think that's probably, I mean, it's not a coincidence that we lost key players December, January, and were form, you know, it did sort of dip off certain players, purple patches came to an end, and we struggled in certain games. I mean, you just take this this calendar year, no away wins, and these are a lot of things that have maybe gone against us, but I think Andy's a deserved winner to be in that team of the year for League Two.
So we'll see if he is going to be in the League One Team of the Year next season.
Optimism.
Right, let's get on to Saturday's game up at Elgin. Another trip up to Boro Briggs. 1-1 this time it finished against 10-man Elgin, as they had a man sent off at the start of the second half. It was always going to be a difficult task going up there, considering their home record at the minute and our away record at the minute, and it was obviously going to be doubly tough to go up there with no Kieran Shanks or Rory McAllister in the lineup either.
Yeah, I mean, looking back, I think I've seen we had sort of like a stick on draw, did it? Based on our away form, their home form, but I think it was even a bigger game for Elgin, knowing that, you know, if they got the right results and the way results went elsewhere, they could mathematically be safe. You've seen that with our last 15, 20 minutes, the way that they dug in. But, yeah, probably on the balance of play, a point just about a fair result. I do think if the game had gone on another 5, 10 minutes, we probably would have gone on to win. But, you know, the game's over 90, 95 minutes, and, you know, a point was probably just about the right result.
So there was the three changes from the previous lineup. Out went Shanks, obviously, as we knew. Joe McKee dropped out as well, and Jordan Brown dropped to the bench. In came O'Keefe, Jack Brown and Alfie Stewart. So it was a bit of a change in lineup, and as we sort of speculated last week, it was Conor O'Keefe who was the striker up front, with Wardy and Hamish at the either side of him. So we had a midfield three really of Peter Pollock, Jack Brown and Alfie Stewart, and you've got two young guys, fit guys, running about in the middle of the park here. But Peter Pollock as well, still got life in his legs as well, but obviously not naturally, his position. Did really well last week, and as I think, as you said during the game, it's an attacking looking lineup, but there was always that element that we might get caught going the other way.
Yeah, and like I said about 10 minutes ago, this is a game that you sort of miss Andy McCarthy when he's now starting, or the Joe McKees, because they will just, you know, sit in front of that back four and give you the protection. We touched on Saturday the game. It's a very attacking lineup, but it almost felt like they were missing a massive gap in midfield. You needed somebody to be that person to receive the ball, turn, and then lay it off into other players. And we're sort of missing that at times. I think we were maybe a wee bit too easy in the first half, a wee bit predictable, in how we'd go about it. But we didn't have much height. I think when you lose, you know, like some McAllister's now playing, you didn't really have that height. And, you know, for as good as O'Keefe is and up top and he's worked great and moving the channels, you couldn't really play a diagonal ball if you wanted to because, he's up against Ross Draper, he's going to lap that up all day. Mm-hmm. But, it was a very attacking lineup. It was just at times, I think, the gap between the midfield and defence was, you know, too big.
And that's something we've maybe picked up on a couple of times this season is the lack of height, or maybe the height of the opposition players. Like, it's Stenny's perfect example. But even Elgin, you mentioned there, Draper at the back, but at the other end, you got Dangana, and then you had Golden as well. You know, big guys that really stretched your defence at times.
Yeah, when Elgin were under the cosh, they were quite happy on the occasions to go direct up to the big lads up top, and they try and get the second balls. If we were to try and do that on Saturday, it just was going to come straight back to us because we didn't have the height. We tried to go down the wide areas with Wardy and Hamish Ritchie, and at times it worked. We got balls into the box, but you get the ball into the box, and because of the lack of height, it didn't really come to anything. It was a catch 22. You can try and walk in, you know, play nice football on the ground, but sometimes you need to go that wee bit more direct, get the ball into the box. But if you don't have the height, it makes it very, very difficult. And I think that's probably one of our downfalls on Saturday. But, you know, you can't change the height of a player, can you?
No, you maybe try and stretch him a wee bit, but it's not much difference. But I would say as well, there was a lot of times on both wings where, especially in the right-hand side, second half, Hamish Ritchie was getting a lot of space, but we didn't seem to get the bar to him quick enough.
Yeah, it's been one of them things we've mentioned our season, though, isn't it? Sometimes we take that pass too many. Sometimes we're a wee bit slow and getting our head up and looking out wide. It's one of them. I mean, if you're being super, super critical, you could maybe realise that, you know, I'd reckon the fitness level of Danny Strachan at the moment, but could you have put him at right back for a period of time and gotten that overlaps, gotten him running by Hamish Ritchie, and again, gives you that different dimension. Sometimes we take a touch too many and then you sort of lose the chance or we go too square. But, yeah, it's maybe something for next season. I don't know, you know, there might be a few changes, but, you know, just being that wee bit more direct at times when it's needed.
So we were behind after just 10 minutes and the aforementioned Ross Draper was the one who got the goal. Header from a corner, that's actually just the fifth goal this season that we've conceded from a corner, so always disappointing to lose a goal, but because of that height and things like that we were talking about, this was always going to be a danger that we were going to concede for a set piece.
Yeah, Ross Draper's one of them. He's very good at, you know, getting in front of his man or, you know, jostling for a position and coming out successful. That's exactly what he did on Saturday. He got ahead of the defender and he's managed to put it in the back of the net. It's a very simple goal from an Elgin point of view. Disappointing from us, obviously, to concede from a set piece. But as you said, it's only the very few that we have conceded. So it's certainly an area of the game that I think we've improved on this season a hell of a lot compared to the last couple of years defending set pieces. But it's always frustrating when you do concede one.
And it's sort of, obviously, it could be a corner, a set piece, but they didn't really show much of anything other than that. Prior to that, it wasn't as though that we were hemmed in for the first 10 minutes. It was like, well, that's the first effort and goal, and they've kind of scored already.
That was exactly it. It was almost like a deflation, was it? Nothing really happened in the game, and then all of a sudden you find yourself 1-0 down. And I think with the way our waveform has been this calendar year and how Elgin realised that, you know, if they could get the right result, compile the results elsewhere, they would be safe. I don't know, there wasn't a deflation around the team, but you just felt, you know, it was a kick in the stones because we hadn't started the game particularly well, neither had Elgin, but as you said, it was their first opportunity and, you know, they've taken it with both hands.
Jason Brown had a chance as well at the other end, but was well saved by the Elgin keeper and Conor O'Keefe. Now Conor O'Keefe does like a goal of the season contender goal, and he tried again with a lob from, I can't even say it's to the edge of the 18-yard box. It was further out than that. With a lob, it went just wide. He also scored as well, but it was ruled off for offside. It would be really interested to see that one again, just to see how tight it was. But plenty of chances for us in that first period.
Yeah, we created chances. The Jason Brown one's really unlucky. Obviously, the offside, it's very tight. But linesman did get his flag up pretty quick, to be fair. Conor O'Keefe's tried the lob. So we did create chances, and good chances at that. But it wasn't really falling for us on the day. And, you know, with the fact that Elgin were 1-0 up, I'm going to say we're trying to force it a wee bit too much. But at times, you know, you could maybe have gotten an overlap or gotten it wider. But, yeah, unfortunately, we just couldn't get our noses back in front and, you know, get back on level terms.
All I can say is, and given what's been happening over the weekend, especially yesterday with VAR, I'm glad that we didn't have it in League 2 in Scotland, because... Yeah, it could have been really, really tight. But as you said, the referee, the linesman, had his flag up pretty quick. But I'd really be interested to see that one again, because it did look tight. It might have just been a lot more off, considering our angle, but seemed to be tight.
Well, you'd have a better angle than me. I've seen the Conor O'Keefe one, because we were still getting the pies. You came back and you said it was a tightening. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, if I'm being critical, I don't think that the officials got much right in the game, but he maybe just about got that one right.
We mentioned in the pies, we haven't done a pie watch for a while, but it's really worth mentioning it. And just talking about that alone, the pie up there was absolutely brilliant once again.
Oh, yeah. You're being modest there, pie. We had pies. they were that good. We won a lie. I even tweeted that on Saturday. They are very, very good pies. If you haven't had an Elgin pie, you're missing out.
You're supposed to kind of keep that thing to yourself. See what happens in a away day stays in an away day. You would have just said we had a pie and that would have been it. Diet starts because next week.
People that came me came as they just one pie. That's my problem.
Well, we had a pie and a sausage roll the last time each, so we were just going with a double deck of pies.
We're just working our way through the menu, really. That's what we're doing.
really worth while going up there for the steak. Really full of meat. And some of these pies you get in some of these grounds, there's hardly any meat, but it was chock full of meat and really flaky pastry as well.
And it wasn't a grizzly either. It was very, very good. Well worth it, as you say.
Back to the game then. Flynn Duffy was subbed off with what we think is now about a concussion substitution, hence why we made four during the game in three stoppages. Nasty one for Flynn, because he'd went down. Who obviously went up for a header, and you know how these things tend to go, something backing into you. Just got flipped and sort of landed on the back of his head, back of his neck. Really nasty one. And obviously what we've seen with David Wilson towards Christmas time, you always start to kind of flinch a little bit. But giving his credit, he got up. But I think that initial reaction was just kind of an instinct kind of thing, and then I think maybe just after that he maybe felt it.
Yeah, probably a wee bit of adrenaline, is it, to start with. I am surprised that we maybe, as a team, and I say that with like the Donald and the physio, the Jamie, Jordan, Ryan, surprised maybe just didn't make that call of, you know what, we're just going to take you off. You know, obviously they'll take the players. Thoughts into consideration as well, and maybe he felt he didn't nothing had happened. But obviously, you've got to be so careful these days with concussion injuries and obviously the neck and everything. And as you rightly touched on, we'd seen what happened to Davy Wilson back in late December, and these things are so difficult to try and judge. And you know the physios get everything right, they really do, but it's maybe one of them that you take that out of the player's hands, because as you said, a couple of minutes later, he's gone off what we suspected to be concussion. But you know, hopefully it's nothing too serious.
Yeah, because he went straight down the tunnel after it as well, under the watchful eye of Donald, the physio. So hopefully it maybe it's just precautionary. But as I said, it was a concussion substitution, which obviously then means you're allowed that extra one, and the opposition gets an extra one as well. So into the the second half, and I guess the turning point maybe for the game was on 57 minutes when the Elgin player Bray got sent off for his second yellow, crossing the far end for Weaver. I think there's an argument if you were an Elgin City supporter that this is pretty harsh, two soft yellow cards here.
It falls in the category for me as it's daft to do it when you're on a booking. I think you give the referee a decision to make. And given how the referee's performance had been the previous 56 minutes, I think it's naive to allow the referee to be in that position where he can make that decision of giving you a second yellow.
And not just the referee as well, but that the Jobsworth linesman that we had in front of us as well, he really was just an absolute arsehole of a man, who obviously seems to get off on the power of being an assistant referee in League 2 in Scotland.
Yeah, he was. He made his opinion well known. Just certain things. Nothing too wrong with what he's doing. But you know, as you say, it's a power trip. Very much a case of, you know, this is the rules and that they will be followed. Even for substitutions warming up and, you know, people going past them and everything. Even the subs coming off and on. Yeah, he certainly felt the power trip. That's for sure.
It's okay saying now that he didn't do anything wrong in terms of the way he was saying, but I think there's a way to carry yourself. There's a way to be, and you know, if a player was doing what he was doing to him, that would be a yellow card for the player.
Yeah, completely get that. I think just for argument's sake, if you spoke to Ryan or Jordan in the manner that what he did to maybe certain other people around the ground or you know, in the pitch, if Ryan and Jordan had spoken to the officials like that, they'd have been carded or even worse, potentially being sent off. As you said, there's a manner and the tone and the demeanour and everything that goes with it, but he certainly liked that his wee power trip up in Elgin.
If it's a saying that he was the prick's prick.
Yes.
So Elgin were ready to 10, so as you'd expect, switched to a 4-4-1 with just Golden up front. And we were sort of looking at it and going, well, there's only the one up front, time for the changes. And Jason being on a yellow card already and given the performance of the referee, as you said, we were sort of looking at it and going, ideal chance to get him off and get another midfielder on. And that's exactly what they did 8 minutes after the red card. When Andy McCarthy came on and we switched to a 3-1-4-2 almost, so it was a case of, you know, we had the back three. By this time, obviously, Jordan Armstrong had come on. So it was Jordan Armstrong, Ryan Strachan and Caleb Goldie was your back three. Andy McCarthy in that role, just sitting in front, dictating the play, and we were getting plenty of men forward at this stage.
Yeah, and to be fair, you called it just nailing after the red card as well. You said it's probably a great opportunity now to go at a back three and try and squeeze the game a wee bit in midfield and get, you know, Wardy and Hamish wider. And to Ryan and Jordan's credit as well, they've noticed it, and he was warming up for a couple of minutes before he came on. So they realise, obviously, just the one up top now is a good opportunity to try and squeeze the game a wee bit more. We were having a lot of the ball. We just didn't probably create many clear-cut chances. I think that would probably be the criticism from it. A lot of possession, a lot of ball in the middle of the park, but didn't really hear that penetration pass to try and get him. I think O'Keefe maybe had one when he went wide left. He'd won it. He'd beaten the defender, but, you know, he didn't... The cross didn't come in and went out for a corner, so we try. I just don't think we got the rub of the green too much on Saturday.
I certainly think Wardy had the beating of his man on the left hand side, but I think sometimes, and not just him, but some of the other players as well, that the overplay it. You know, you beat your man, you've got that half a yard of space, just try and get the cross in, whereas we're trying to. Create ourselves even more space to get crosses in, or trying to beat our man, or trying to get shots away.
Yeah, at times I think Wardy particularly, I think at times he maybe overthinks it or overplays it. He cuts back in once, maybe too many. But Saturday is probably a good example. He gets a good cross in, but there's just nae the height in the box. So it looks a poor cross, but in actual fact, it's because we just don't have the height there to be able to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And that's nae Wardy's fault. I think he was unlucky to come off. I think he was the one out of Hamish and Wardy that probably looked like the more likely to get something on target and, you know, get something on target, but get the joy of it as well, actually getting a corner out or a goal. We struggled, especially wider area. I think Hamish, his footwear, I don't know if it's new boots or something to him, but he seemed to, you know, trip a few times. And it was at the crucial times as well. You think, right, he's going to get a good cross in here, or he's going to drop the shoulder and beat his left back. And it just, yeah, at times it just didn't work for him. But I think it sort of summed up our second half performance. A lot of the ball, but when it came to the crucial last minute thing, it didn't sort of pay off for us.
We kept plugging away. And once Dangana and Golden both came off for Elgin, I think there was just a slight change, because obviously, although Rob Jones did come on, I think that height and mobility that they had sort of went away and were back, so you became a little bit more comfortable. And I think that was maybe just a change in the tide slightly. But as I said, we sort of plugged away. 10 minutes for the end. After Jordan had come on, he had a fantastic chance as well with a header. He's admitted himself he probably should hit the target, but again, when you look at those kind of opportunities, you think to yourself, well, is that going to be it? We're going to get another chance, because chances in the second half in particular were few and far between.
Yeah, they were at a premium. I'm glad Jordan admitted he's got to be better, because I agree. But in all seriousness, I think Jordan realises that himself. It's a really, really good chance. It's a header for a couple of yards out. And it's one of them, even if the keeper makes a save, you know, at least get it on target. And the fact that we didn't, you were starting to think, well, our luck's going to run out. As you said, Elgin changed their formation and personnel a couple of times in the second half. And the way the game was going, there only looked like there was going to be one team that was going to get that next goal in the game, if there was to be one. And it was one-way traffic. It was all going for us. But I think the fact that Elgin were 1-0 up, and combined with results elsewhere, I think they did know that if they could manage to hang on or even get a point, they would be safe. That maybe played in Alan Hill's hands by, you know, the team that he sort of ended the game with.
And it was a back three, but at times, you know, we were Ryan Strachan pushing forward. You were only leaving Jordan Armstrong and Caleb Goldie at the back. We Rob Jones, so we're pushing forward, we're squeezing them up. And they were making it difficult to break down it at times. And Scott Ross had even come on as a auxiliary striker up front for the last 5 minutes. And we were trying everything, and it didn't seem to be coming.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to the guys' credits, they literally tried everything. They tried every different avenue they could think of trying to get a goal. As you said, Scott Ross, with his height, he came on and he went up top, and we looked a bit more dangerous with that aerial presence. Jordan Armstrong, I thought, credit to him as well. He came on for Flynn Duffy being injured, and Jordan has had much game time in recent months, and I thought he put in a good shift on that left-hand side with Wardy and then O'Keefe as the game went on. And yeah, we tried everything, but I just don't think we got the rub of the green on Saturday. But I do think, having said that, as I said at the start of the show, I said if it had gone another 5-10 minutes, I do think we'd have managed to go and get a second goal and get the winner.
Well, we did get the equaliser. Peter Pollitt was with a header from the Alfie Stewart corner. Terrific corner by him. As much as we would bemoan our luck with the corner that we conceded with, I think Elgin will look bitterly disappointed with this one, with Peter Paul getting a free header at the near post.
Yeah, Peter Paul is now known for his goal scoring abilities with his head, so they will be disappointed so late in the game as well from their point of view. But from our point of view, delighted, because it just gave you that. I think it gave the guys a bit of a lift that they've been knocking on the door for the best part of 30, 35 minutes since the red card. And I think if we didn't get a point out of that game, it would have been an injustice, because we certainly deserve to come away with something. And yeah, delighted. It was really good crossing by Alfie. Well finished by Peter Pollitt.
Yeah, terrific cross for Alfie. Obviously, Peter will get the plaudits for the goal, but he can only score if it's a good corner, and at times you're looking for a decent cross, and it doesn't come. But Alfie's, as we've seen since he's come in January, his dead balls has been fantastic, and his passing ability and his crossing ability has been brilliant. And that was Pollitt's now fifth goal. He's now got in 16 appearances, so Yeah, it was a goal we definitely deserved, and it was certainly a point we deserved.
Yeah, and just on that corner, Pollock doesn't have to do too much with the ball either. Mm. It's a good height, the pace is on it. He's just got to put it in the right area and in the back of the net, and he's done that. And I think a point was probably a right result. I think Elgin had they were very resolute in their defence, but I do think we were well worthy of getting a point.
And as you said, if the game had gone on another 5-10 minutes, we probably could have sneaked a winner. Ryan Strachan almost did with a shot from range, which went just went wide. But I think there might have been an offside in there as well. But we weren't just sort of resting on our laurels to say, "Oh right, we've snatched a point here. Let's just sort of shut up shop." We were still pressing.
I don't think that's really in the guy's mantra, is it? That they'll just sit back and quite happy to take a point. We've scored so many late goals this season as well, and I think that just goes to show that they keep going. They've got this drive to go till the 90th, 95th minute and just keep going. And yeah, again, they've picked up another point by playing right till the end.
So there was 9 efforts on goal to their 6, but we just had the 2 on target, but they had 5. You know, last week we spoke about we were being quite clinical. We had 7 shots on goal and scored with 2 goals with the 2 efforts on target. Maybe not so much clear cut efforts this time, but as I said, it was one of those games where it was going to be tight, and we just needed one of those efforts to go in.
I think another day. O'Keefe's class has been marginally onside. I think Jordan, if he gets a better connection on it, Ryan's right at the end, as you said, there's maybe an offside, but you know, within a kin that, when Ryan's taking a shot and it just gnarly went past the post. So, yeah, on another day, one of them falls to a different player and it goes in the back of the net, or you get that rub of the green that maybe wasn't quite there on Saturday.
So elsewhere, on Saturday, Spartans won 1-0 at Bonnie Rigg. And Dumbarton drew 0-0 with Stranraer, so it leaves us level with Dumbarton again, and 2 above Spartans. But at one point on Saturday, I think it was, we were down to 3rd and 1 point above Spartans as well. So, you know, they've been plugging away a little bit, which obviously we'll come on to a little bit later. But it's still all to play for.
Yeah, there is now 2 really, really big games coming up. And just the way the fixtures work, we're playing the teams that are 4th and 3rd in the division. You almost couldn't write it. But, you know, it's in our hands to finish 2nd. We've got to play the 2 teams that are in the playoffs with us currently. So like I said, it's in our hands.
Quickly get some of your thoughts from Saturday's game. Start with George Buchan. We created enough chances and should have taken the lead before Elgin City scored. Still lacking a bite at times. Substitutions were confusing. We're holding on to 2nd spot by the skin of our teeth. Neil Thompson, another lacklustre performance. Without our strikers, we seem to want to walk the ball in without one real effort. Just the one to lob the keeper after a poor kick-out. To their credit, we again kept plugging away and got the late goal. Graham McLean, I thought Caleb Goldie put in a man-of-the-match performance. The whole team did well, considering several regulars were missing, and our never-say-die attitude shone through with another late equaliser. Felt we should have had a penalty, our player being wiped out with the exact same tackle that saw Peter Pollock carded. Did enough to keep our slim advantage, and Sylvia Duncan said it was a hard watch. Go back to George's point about the substitution. There's no sort of explanation as to why he thought the substitutions were confusing. I thought the substitutions were pretty spot on and the ones you would expect. Because obviously, although Rory was on the bench, I don't think he was ever in danger of playing the game. And other than Danny, I don't see any other player coming on that it would have maybe tried to influence the game. And again, we're not just entirely sure what Danny's fitness levels is at the minute.
Yeah, Danny has been carrying a knock, we're aware of that. Rory, I think he was on the bench, but I don't think there was ever any chance that he'd be coming on. I think he was there with respect solely to make up the numbers. I guess it may be confusing in terms of, you know, we did end up the game with a midfielder and a defender up top, but again, you look at it, you've got Scott's height, you've got Jordan Fahey's played there before in his career, and he's done so in the last couple of weeks. He's gone up front to try and help us out. So, yeah, maybe in that aspect, but like you, I think the substitutions were pretty much bang on. We try and guess the subs as well that might happen, you know, we mentioned that Jason might come off and you put on Andy and then you try and change the game a wee bit for there. We pretty much got them right on Saturday. So I don't know, I think, in my opinion, that they were confusing.
The only one maybe was confusing was maybe the was taking Wardy off. But other than that, there was nae really any complaints with the changes. They had to try and change something to influence the game, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, that's why it's a squad game. That's why you've got your bench. You feel you need to use it. They're quite right to go and make the subs as they see fit, and, you know, change the players as well.
So the final two games, and as you said, you couldn't write it at the start of the season how it was going to go. But the final two games, then, and we're going to have a quick look at League One as well, because obviously that's going to have ramifications possibly for us in the playoffs as well. So on Saturday, we have a trip to Spartans. Dumbarton are at home to Elgin. We know what's at stake for us. You look at Dumbarton and Elgin game, obviously Elgin now know that they're safe. They won't be in a battle for that 10th spot. However, Elgin playing the way they are will want to try and beat the points target as they had last season. I think it was 40 points they had last season. They're currently on 39, so they'll want to try and push on as much as possible. And weirdly, even though that's them now safe, they are only 5 points behind East Fife. So there is a slim chance, but still a chance, that they could finish fifth or sixth in the league, in the table, and obviously with that is extra prize money.
Yeah, as you said, they've got a chance that they can finish a place above, and it's talking about the prize money in the lower leagues. It can be hugely beneficial. I think that Alan Hale, knowing how his teams have set up, especially Elgin, the way that they've gone about their business, I don't think he'll want the players to feel like they're on the beach. Some of them might still be playing for their futures. You know, he's come in, he changed a few things in January, got a few players in, but it could be a big summer for them, and if players want to be a part of it, they're going to have to show that they're committed to the cause, and that goes down the last two games of the season as well. So might not just be as cut and dry as we think in terms of Elgin safe and playing Dumbarton. I think that could be... Elgin's a difficult team to play against just now. We seen that on Saturday. They were here at Balmoor, what was it, 7-8 weeks ago. And they're a dogged team. They didn't come from their beating. They never give up. And I think Dumbarton could be in for a tough afternoon, hopefully.
Yeah, that's the thing. That could be the difference. Dumbarton's facing a team that it's... okay, maybe not got nothing really to play for, but as I said, they've still got something potentially to play for in terms of finishing higher up in the league. And then obviously the following week, the end of the last game of the season, we've got Dumbarton at home, and Spartans play East Fife. So again, potentially the other game, Spartans playing a side who will want to try and cement, or are possibly still looking to try and cement fifth.
Yeah, they've still got something potentially to play for. As I said, it's in our hands. If we can go to Spartans, then you've got Dumbarton at home, win them two games, you're fine. I think it's once you start they winning the games, and you know, we're away from this calendar year, as we've touched on a few times, and even Jordan mentioned it, it's certainly not been the greatest. And you don't want to lose that advantage that you've got by finishing second. So, yeah, as we said, the way the fixtures work out is a really big couple of weeks coming up.
And it's funny, again, because you look at the fixtures in League 2 for the next couple of weeks. Arnhem play Falkirk at home. Edinburgh City play Stirling. So Stirling, sorry, go to Edinburgh City. And Queen of the South are at home to Cove. Falkirk, if you look at the Arnhem game, will want to try and finish the season unbeaten. That will be their main priority. So they're not going to be facing, aren't going to be facing a team that is, as you said, on the beach. They're still going to be trying pushing for that unbeaten season. Edinburgh's already relegated, as we know, so this is obviously a big chance for Stirling to try and get 3 points. But we've already seen Edinburgh going to beat Montrose just midweek last week. And Cove still battling for a playoff spot as well. So, you know, those three games will be very difficult. They've got ramifications at both ends of the table.
Yeah, it's really exciting this time of season for your team to be involved in these sort of things. As you're going for playoffs for promotion, that is, rather than maybe a relegation. I think that Stirling v Edinburgh and the Annan v Falkirk, I think this could be a pivotal weekend for Stirling, because you would think that Falkirk would be beating Annan, and if they can go to Edinburgh and win, if I remember rightly, that would then move Stirling out of 11th place and put them, sorry, out of 9th and put them into 8th, and it would put Annan potentially back down. So psychologically, yeah, that can be a big thing as well, especially with, you know, one game to go. So yeah, I think it could be a really, really important weekend, not only for us in League 2, but also the teams at the bottom of League 1 as well.
Well, currently as it stands, Queen of the South are 7th with 38 points, Annan on 37 and 8th, and Stirling, as you said, in 9th on 35. So for Annan, they're looking at a minimum of a point from the Falkirk game, which, you know, could easily be achievable depending on how Falkirk see the game. As I said, they'll want to try and finish the season unbeaten. If they can get that, obviously they'll guarantee themselves that they will still be in 8th, even if Stirling Albion win, because Stirling Albion have got a worse off goal difference by a fair bit. But then you look at the following week, the last game of the season is Stirling Albion at home to Annan. So obviously it could be a winner take all game there as well. Queen of the South, they've got Cove this Saturday, but they're away to Montrose on the final day game, which obviously is who Cove are competing with for that fourth spot for the playoff as well. So they've got a couple of tricky ties, but you'd imagine if they can get a point out of both of those games, that should be enough for them.
Could be a really, really exciting weekend next weekend, could it? Us playing Dumbarton at home, and you've got Stirling playing Annan. That could be a really, really couple of good games. Yeah, I think we'll hear much better. Well, you'd like to think we'll hear a much better idea after Saturday's results in League 1 and League 2 and see how they've gone. But, you know, primarily our focus is going to Spartans and winning the game and putting ourselves in a much more comfortable position.
Yeah, so Spartans currently fourth, as I said, unbeaten in the last five, three draws and two wins that they have gotten. And weirdly, this season, all the games have resulted in an away win in the League 3. Three games all have been away wins. Obviously, the last time we played each other, they came up here in January and won 1-0. Even if you include the League Cup game at the start of the season as well, it's all been four away victories as well. So, fingers crossed that continues. But it has been a while since we did have an away victory. And funnily enough, our last away victory was at Spartans back in November. We've had 10 games since then without a victory. Now, depending on your philosophical stance, you could look at that and say, well, that's glass half empty, that's no wins. But glass half full, it's 7 draws out of those 10 games.
Yeah, and this is whether you're a glass half empty or a glass half full sort of person. It is 7 unbeaten. I think our unbeaten run's been very good this calendar year. It's just the drop points. And yeah, it's all ifs and buts, but we've seen the run that Stenny's been on lately. They aren't exactly sitting the heads of light. Okay, the title was done a few weeks ago, but there's an argument to say that if we'd won a couple more games or lost less, then we could have been, in touching distance. But, you know, the facts are we're sitting second. And if somebody had said to you, this time last year, you'll be sitting second with 2 games to go, it's in your hands, you're playing the team that's third and the team that's fourth to cement your second place, would have bitten your hand off. So I think that in that respect, we've had a very good season. It's not quite done yet. A couple of really big, important weeks coming up. It'd be really, really good to try to get that monkey off our back and get a win away at Spartans on Saturday.
Out of the top five in League 2, we have the fewest away victories in this season so far, with just 5 away victories out of 17 games. 7 draws as well. So just the 5 losses. Convert a couple of those draws into victories, that's an extra 4 points. Suddenly you're almost guaranteeing yourself second coming into this game here.
Yeah, and that's probably the difference between second and being a much closer title race as well. You know, because also the points change and everything. But as I said, somebody said to us a year ago, you'll be in this position, would have bitten your hand off. And I think it's a really, really good job that Ryan and Jordan's done. As I said, it's not quite over yet. And how people feel the season's gone might change depending on what division we're in come the end of the season. But that's just the way football is and the way how, you know, people look at it. Some people will say, well, the club of our size, we should be in League One. Folk will say, well, yeah, we've had a really poor season last year. So maybe we're still in League Two and then we'll kick on again next year. But I think that the team's in a really good place. Yes, we've got a few injuries. Obviously, Joe McKee's got a wee knock. Danny Strachan's got a knock. Kieran will be back for suspension. Rory's got a knock. But you'd rather hear them just now and then, you know, they're raring to go in the playoffs. But it's in our hands where we finish, and, you know, that'll be a really good thing, the fact that we've got third and fourth still to play.
Yeah, and as I said, we've had four away wins in this fixture so far. Another one would obviously pretty much wrap up. Second place, well, when the wrap us up, second place, we'll say if Dumbarton win as well, but it would take away that element of finishing fourth. A draw might not be a bad result either, because, again, we would know it would be in our hands to then go and beat Dumbarton next week to secure that second spot.
Yeah, I think that's crucial. I think as long as it's still in your hands, when Dumbarton come up, we've seen what we did to Dumbarton, you know, a couple of months ago. We scored a couple of late goals and we played really, really well that Tuesday night as well. So you're looking for more of the same. Also, we've got a huge game against Spartans to come up first. We'll probably have one eye on the Dumbarton game against Elgin. You're keeping an eye on League One as well. As I said, it's a really exciting time in the season just now to be involved in, considering what we've gone through in the last 18 months, 2 years. It's a credit to the guys that are in this position.
Yeah, you'd much rather be in this position looking at, you know, potential for a playoff rather than, you know, the season sort of petering out at the same time. But one man we're going to have to keep an eye on is somebody else who made it into the League 2 Team of the Year as well, as Blair Henderson, top goal scorer in League 2 with 18 goals. Fantastic player. Will be a key focal point for them in their abilities to try and win this game.
Yeah, it's something that we don't often like to do, is like pick out one person on a team, because you sort of pinpoint one person, you know, somebody else will take his spot. But the fact that he's got 18 goals, he's such a talisman for Spartans. Every good thing really is going through him. A very clever player. You know, we've seen that a few times this season, the way he drops in between the lines to pick up the ball and then sprays it. Very, very clever player. And something that we'll need to be aware of. But I think with the experience that we've got now, Scotty Ross is back, you've got Jason, you've got Ryan, experienced players, and you're hoping that they'll be able to deal with them efficiently.
Scott Ross might be playing up front for the start on Saturday, you never know.
It depends on how Rory's feeling, Keenan, if he's back, you know. Yeah, I wouldn't like to put money on Scott Ross being up front, but you never know.
We did score Dunerve previously as well, so, you know, he's...
Yes.
He has scored in there, so there could be an argument for that as well. But, you know, there are other options. You wouldn't think he'd be the first choice. But when he's been called upon to play up front, he has certainly scored.
Yeah, and he's got a few goals this season as well. So they didn't just quite rule it out completely, but I think there's probably about two or three other folk that Ryan and Jordan might have in their mind first.
Right, now to get his take on Saturday's game is Spartans fan Kenny Cameron. Kenny, welcome back to the Blue Team Podcast. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Colin. And just once again, thanks. Congratulations, actually, on surpassing 200 episodes. And thanks for having me on. I think so, maybe the third time. I really appreciate you putting up with me. And like I say, that's a huge achievement. Over 200 podcasts, and probably people that didn't do that sort of thing, including the players and the club, probably didn't realise how much effort goes into that. So I know you do a thing on a Friday, and then you've got the Monday preview and all that. So it's a massive commitment. So congratulations and well done.
Thank you very much for that. We will end it there. Thank you for for coming on, Kenny. It was much appreciated.
That's the most sense stuff I've spoken all season.
We'll now get on to the nitty-gritty then. So Spartans, phenomenal first season in League 2. You're now guaranteed playoff place. Potentially, still could finish as high as second as well. I guess this is... this has been over and above maybe expectations from the start of the season?
I think when I came on at the start of the season, I said we weren't here to make up the numbers. I think I believed, and a lot of the supporters believed, that we had a squad that could do well. I think we had a team that played really good football in the Lowland League last year, and then Dougie added a couple of really good signings with experience to bolster the squad and add a wee bit of quality, and like I say, guys that played at a higher level. So I didn't actually think it exceeded the expectations. I think when we spoke before, I said that I didn't think there's many teams that are much better than us, and I didn't think that we're much better than sort of many other teams because it's so tight. Now, the exception of that's probably obviously been Steny, who have ran away with it, and they've been, they have been the best team. The games I've watched, they've been really good, to be fair, and big congratulations to them. But everybody else, the games are so tight that it literally can sort of hinge on a goal either side. So in terms of exceeding expectations, I genuinely thought we could be up there. And again, if you listen back to that episode, I think I said that. I said I would expect as a fan to at least try and get in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Maybe not win the league, but to try and get in the playoffs. And everybody at the club will just be delighted now that that's sort of in the bag, and wherever we finish up next, we'll finish up. I would like to think actually that over the next few games, some of the pressure will be off, because I think in the last month or so, we've not really had a rhythm. It's been quite tough. A lot of teams feeling pressure, so it's been a bit of long bangers and a bit stifled, if I'm being honest. Maybe no many chances. And I think the players can now just go, we've sort of achieved that goal. Wherever we finish next, you deal with that, because I don't think it makes much of a difference, if I'm being honest. And then just go and play and enjoy it again and get a rhythm, and we'll just see what happens.
I think the only advantage really of the way the playoff is structured, if you finish second or third, you know you don't have to play ninth in League One straight away. You may have to play them in the final, obviously, and that's just, you know, that's the advantage of the playoff, but if you finish second, if you finish third, if you finish fourth, I don't think there's much difference. And if you look at the sides in League One, you know, Arran and Queen of the South and Stirling, we've already beaten Arran this season in the league, in the Challenge Cup. So the expectations is that we could probably beat them or Stirling this in the playoff as well. So where you finish maybe doesn't give you too much of an advantage or disadvantage either way, but just for that, I guess the prestige of finishing as high as you can, I guess.
I think that's important. For me, again, as a fan, I'm not really sort of fussed about who we, you know, if we play that sort of ninth team or whatever, we're going to have to play that. You know, to be successful, we'd have to play them possibly anyway. Yeah. I just think that would be great, like from our point of view, a selfish point of view, to, if we can finish second, we're only 3 points off. We obviously play you at the weekend, we'll have a tough game. He's Fife on the last day, and I don't know what. I think maybe depending on what happens, you know, this weekend, maybe depending on what Dougie will do with the squad. I don't know if we'd then maybe freshen up. We have you to the playoffs, maybe get a couple of young boys who have been knocking on the door of the first team a chance. A couple of the boys have had really good seasons in the 20s, for example. Mm-hmm. That might be a chance at East Fife to give him a run out or whatever and freshen up, rest a couple of guys. Because what I noticed this season, kind of is it. The Lowland League's a long season, but this is a kind of slog season, because it's like even the travelling, and you're travelling up and down the country all the time, you're playing the same teams over and over again, and just getting that rest, because Dougie's relied on he's relied on the squad. We've had a lot of injuries, but a lot of guys have played a lot of games as a result of that, and maybe not had the chance to rest when they could have done with a rest. So I don't know if he'll do that, but I think Spartans finishing in the top four, let's be honest about it, is a massive achievement. We're all really proud of the players in the club, but we want to, I'm a fan, I'm greedy, I want to finish second. So again, when you come down on the weekend, I wouldn't think that the players are going to be going out and getting everything they can, playing with a bit more freedom, hopefully, because the goal sort of secured. but hopefully going to get 3 points and really pushing to be second, because that would just be unbelievable for a year one. So I will see what happens.
You've got the league's top goal scorer as well at the moment, Blair Henderson. Tell me about him and his season and his impact with the club so far.
I think Big Kendo, I reflect back to the first time we spoke, and I spoke about the squad, and I said that everybody knows what Big Kendo does, and he just puts the ball in the net, and what's been, he gets maybe a bit of stick in terms of being a penalty box player, but some of the goals he scored this season from outside the box and that as well has been phenomenal. What people will only see is his influence sort of off the park and at training, and I know that the other players, and when Doogie speaks about him, he talks about him being a real leader and setting standards in training. He's wore the armband in the absence of two or three guys. But Kev's the captain, but he's been injured, and then Craigan's been injured, and all the guys, you know what I mean? And Big Kendo's wound up wearing the armband a number of times. But when you look at his goal against Bonnyrigg the other day, it's out of nothing. He just scores. He scores winners. He scores tap-ins. He scores long-range ones. Defensively, he's important to the team, winning that first ball defensively. And like I say, off the park. So he's massive. Everybody knows what Hendo brings. We're lucky to have him. And maybe 18 goal. I think it's 18 goal. That was his 18th against Bonnyrigg. That's an incredible return in a season. When at times, you know, you're not getting loads of chances in a game because it's so tight. That's a massive, for me, a massive goal return. I'm not sure who your top goal scorers are. I might be wrong. I had a wee look, but it looked like they weren't into double figures, but they were maybe spread out a wee bit more. I might be wrong on that, but I think it just shows the value you're having somebody in a tight game like Bonnyrigg, a game that just pops up and scores. And you can play all the nice football if you want, you can be a threat all you want, but if you've nobody to put the ball in it, it's pointless. So he's kind of the important part of the team. Of the strikers are always sort of finishing touch. You need somebody to put in the net.
And he's what, 28, 29, but he seems to have been around for a lot longer.
He scored, I think this season he scored certainly his 100th goal, league goal in league football, which is a massive achievement. I might be doing him a disservice here, it might be Mayor. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but he's been around, people know his name because he just does pop up with goals. He's also been around a couple of clubs. He seems to have really found a home at Spartans. He seems to enjoy it. The supporters and the young supporters love him, and he's great with him. He's just a good fit at the club. He's well liked with the players and the supporters and the committee and all that. So we I don't know his obviously contract situation and all that, but he's definitely one that, from a supporter's point of view, you want to make sure it's tied down, because again, you can have the shiniest gun in the world, but if you have no bullets to fire it with, it's no point. And he's sort of that bullet for us at the top end of the park, you know what I mean? And like I say, I didn't know the exact number of points he's won us. We're winners or equalisers, but again, it's not just in 2-0 or 3-0 games, it's actually winners and important goals, important times that he pops up with. And again, people probably didn't give him credit for the types of finish. They probably imagine some of what happens. He's capable of that, but he scored a few terrific goals this season. So he's done great. Maybe a late shout for Steve Clark, Scotland squad. Big Lauren Shanklin wasn't great yesterday for the Hearts, and I don't know how the other guys are getting on, so maybe Steve Clark should come and watch Big Kendo at the weekend.
Well, you never know, there's always that outside chance. You spoke earlier on about maybe coming towards the end of the season has been a bit flat, a bit lacklustre. Unbeaten in five in the last five games, three draws in that five games though, two wins. We're a bit like the same. We're unbeaten in seven, but you know, majority of those have been draws. Focusing on the playoffs now, obviously, because you've got that, is it a case of just getting over the line and then prepping for the playoffs now?
Aye, I mean, like I said, I think the goal probably for everybody at Spartans was to get a playoff place. We believed that we could do it. We've achieved that goal, which is a fantastic achievement. You do want to finish as high up the league as you can for that prestige. So I'm interested to see, like I say, what Doogie will do. Probably, from a supporter's point of view, there's a few guys there running with tired legs that do absolutely need a break. So I don't know if he'll do that this weekend or maybe the following week, depending on the result this weekend. Does the result this weekend actually matter? Now, we've played against each other that many times. At some point, hopefully we face off again another time in the season. We can beat each other. You know what I mean? I don't know what we learn about each other. you know what I mean, at this stage of the season. So, and just get the season done now, maybe get people a wee rest, try and get a couple of bodies back. But we've had an injury run, and I'm the one of these that goes, oh, but this injury, that injury, that's football. Every club gets injuries, right, and you've got to get on with it. But when I look at some of the injuries Spartans have had through the spine of the team throughout the season, to the captain, important players, influential players, repeatedly, you know what I mean? Some of the guys need a break. Some are maybe dipped a wee bit in form and confidence just because they've not had a break. It's just been relentless for them. And good to remember, these guys they're good players. But it is a step up. You know, I'm saying that it's so tight, but that's because the teams are equally, you know, they're of an equal level, which means it's competitive every single week. There's no game that you can try and you can sort of take your foot off the gas. So, again, it's been relentless for them, and that's maybe a change for the Lowland League, where again, there's a top six or seven or eight teams that you have to really be at it, but there's others where you maybe didn't have to be your best and can maybe put other guys in to freshen up, and, or, you know what I mean, maybe just change things a wee bit. You can't do that in this league because two losses or so, and you're noted there. And when you look at the end of the season there, Dougie's probably choking to make a couple of changes, but suddenly East Fife find a runny form. Can they get a new manager? Suddenly they find a runny form, and actually they've been even doing our necks. There's maybe one point we could have went 14 ahead. Again, maybe used as well. We might have been like 14 ahead, and then suddenly a couple of results, a couple of draws, aren't they good to you? You're better losing a couple, but then winning one. You know what I mean? So it's that tight that you're as well going for it to get the 3 points in a game than settling for a point. You know what I mean? So I think get this. It's done. The job's done in terms of getting the playoff. For me, honestly, as a supporter, I'd just be saying to the players, go and relax, man. Go and enjoy yourself. Go and knock the ball about. It's got hopefully the better weather, a decent crowd, and it's building now to the playoff. These games for me, the last couple of games, honestly, didn't really matter. It'd be nice to finish second, but the job's done. You know what I mean?
This will be the fifth time that we've played each other. Obviously, we've had the three league games, but obviously, I had the League Cup game at the start. Every one of them has been an away win this season, which is just incredible. From my point of view, I hope that continues. But obviously, it has been one of those fixtures where home advantage just obviously doesn't seem to be favourable.
Aye, I think it's a funny one, I think, because, and I might be wrong here, right? But my perception of Spartans this season is that we've done better away from home as well. And I might be totally making it up, right? But just when I'm looking at the results and some of the scores and whatnot, it seems like away from home maybe suits us a bit better. We've got good pace in the forward areas. Maybe the home team need to sort of try and come at us a wee bit more. We probably get... We started the season playing some really good football, and I mean that. Like, we knocked the ball about so well, right? And then... But sometimes away from him, you can get away with putting the ball up the park a wee bit more direct. I didn't mean just a shell, you know what I mean? But I draw it the pass forward a wee bit earlier, and then you can get your runners up the park. You can maybe get away with that a bit more away from him. Whereas at Spartans, I kind of do game the guys wanting them to try and get the ball down and play. And that's been difficult, like I said, in the last month or so. Things have been so tight and probably the pressure and that. But that's hopefully what we can get back to seeing on Saturday. I don't know, for you guys, I don't know how much this matters. Obviously, you want to finish second as well, but again, it's a bit priming for the... Who would you want? Who would you rather have, like, if you could pick the... going through the playoff, like, would you rather play the ninth team, or would you rather play the guys that you've already played?
I think in all honesty, I think we would rather play Dumbarton. Obviously, it was a decent record against them, and then obviously going to the final, whether that's against yourselves or Father's Ninth, either way, I think we would... It's two legs, it's the thing, you know, you only need to play one bad game and you could be out with it, and then you're sort of chasing it. So, obviously, we're not going to take the hang for granted, but I think if we can finish second, that gives us home advantage for the second leg. In the first round anyway, and see what happens for there.
I think that's maybe where the positions are important, because again, I'd say it's Spartans that you're playing in that, and it's a Tuesday night, and the guys are finishing their work, and then they're travelling up to Peterhead.
Yeah.
So, I mean, on a Tuesday night, that home advantage maybe then does sort of can more at that point. Mm-hmm. But see, for me, you just go home with it. It's football. Like, you can put any permutation you want, but that's the fixture you go home with. You know what I mean? Whether what injuries you've got, what squad you've got available, if it's raining or whatever, you know what I mean? Just go home with it. It's a game of football, and the guys on both teams will they'll try their best, and that's all you can ask. That's the one thing I'll say about the league has been great is the honesty of the players. The games have been tight and whatnot, but they've been battled hard and nobody's shirked at a tackle, and you can't fault the guys' absolute honesty for their jersey. There's no fans that can go, the guys aren't playing for them. They're putting in, you know what I mean? It's just so tight that a couple of results can get you right down there, or a couple of results can get you right up. And you talk about Hendo, the amount of times he's came up this season and made a difference to keep us sort of at the top end of the park. We'll see what happens, and the playoffs will be the playoffs, and I don't know if I want to play again. We'll just see. You know what I mean? After this, like you say, it's been a lot of games. I suppose, see, if I'm looking at the league, and I know you've not asked me this, but this is our first season in it, and that'd be my criticism. Like, I didn't know how many years you could have been in the same league, kind of less I was at turnover, unless the team was coming up for the Lowland or Highland, and sort of two teams were coming down maybe because you need a freshness, because in the Lowland League, the beauty of that was that you'd play each other twice. There's always, you know what I mean? So you can, if you want to go and play, and again, you've got East Kilbride, say, you're only going there once, and they were only coming to you once, and quite a lot might have hinged on that game. Whereas I think in League 2, you've got two or three chances to get revenge over a team and claw it back a wee bit. So that'd be a wee perception at the end of the season, that freshness of sustaining going up, Edinburgh City coming down, maybe another team can go up, which would be good, which means another team would come down, and hopefully at the other end as well, with respect to the teams that are there, another team comes up, just to keep the league fresh.
Yeah.
Because I imagine it'd be the same teams for 3 or 4 years. I think that would be a bit frustrating, I think, if I'm being honest. But I've been impressed, and I've enjoyed the first year, and the games against you guys, like you say, have been well contested. So roll on Saturday and we'll see what happens.
Well, this is your final home game of the regular season. Would you expect a decent crowd, near partly atmosphere, but a decent sort of atmosphere, because it is the final home game of the regular season?
I hope there's a good turnout for the boys. I think they've done well, they've earned that, they've had some decent crowds this season. It's dipped a couple of times as it does, depending on time of year and whatnot, but the guys have earned the right to play in front of a decent crowd in this game. They've achieved the objective. They'll want to finish as high as they can. Dougie will want to finish as high as they can. They've stated themselves that playing in front of a decent crowd helps them. Yeah, there's no getting away for that. They've played in bigger crowds this season in general anyway for the Lowland League. I think it's went up for maybe 350 over 600 or something like that, which, you know, for us is a good crowd. But we want to maybe hopefully get more than that at the weekend to celebrate with the guys that they've achieved the goal. I think they deserve that. So hopefully you guys bring a few down as well. And again, that's what you want. You want you guys at one side, and you've got that wee bit of the stand. The guys can make a bit of noise. Speaking of that, hopefully you've got a wee group there, and a big congratulations on what your club's done with the ultras up there. I think there's not enough teams embracing that. Mm-hmm. You came out a day down here with our guys, but I just think the clubs at our level especially have to embrace and support that, and there'll be bumps in the road, but there'll be a lot more successes. Your players will no doubt comment on the difference it makes just hearing that noise and knowing that backing's there. So maybe some of them will come down, and hopefully we'll have a number of others, and we can make a good atmosphere and just be a great game.
On that note then, Kenny, it's been a pleasure to talk to you over the course of the season. We may still be chatting again at one point, you never know, in a couple of weeks' time. But we'll see how the playoffs end up. But it's been a real pleasure getting to know you over the course of the season. You've obviously enjoyed your first season in League 2 as well, I can tell. So hopefully you've enjoyed your appearances on the podcast as well.
Well, honestly, I can't thank you enough for having me on, Colin. And like I say, congratulations again. Huge achievement for your podcast, and obviously for your club getting the playoff place. So it's been a good season for yourself as well. Hopefully you're gutted at 3 o'clock at 5 o'clock on Saturday. Hopefully you're gutted, and we've clawed back the 3 points on your level going into the last game. That'll make it really exciting. Thanks again, mate. Much appreciated.
And that is it again for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Kenny Cameron for joining me to preview Saturday's game at Spartans, and to Martin Smith for being here as always. Thank you everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.